Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Mickey Useups, and this is Wayne Pike Now, a weekly public affairs program about the people, places, and issues that shape our community. Certainly one of the issues that shapes our community right now is heroin and addiction, and it's causing impacts probably at every level of the community, from law enforcement to families. It can be very devastating, and I'm joined today by the founder and now president of the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force, Gerald Margraf, and we're also joined by Susie Frisch, who is their vice president. It's a new organization that actually organized in August of last year. They're not even a year old, and they've already accomplished a whole lot of things. And we've got them here today. They've got a meeting coming up next week. And we just want to make everybody familiar with their work and the reason that they exist, what they're battling against. So Gerald and Susie, welcome to the program. We're going to start with Gerald, who was the founder of this task force.
I was getting tired of reading the local Wayne Independent and and seeing it on the news everywhere that, you know, basically there'd be 10 arrests in the newspaper and 8 or 9 of them that would be for heroin. Mm-hmm. It started to get to the point where it was getting ridiculous. I'm raising 3 children within this county as well, and I felt it was very important for not only my family, but for everyone else's family, that someone take a stand. I contacted the Wayne County District Attorney back in late July, early August, and told her what my stance was, and I thought that I wanted to start a citizen-based task force. And she was very receptive to that, although she had never heard of that being done before. We started on social media, on Facebook, and basically posted on our page that we were going to be having a public meeting at the Honesdale Visitors Center in August. Even unadvertised, we went up with over 90 people attending that meeting.
The very first meeting
with state and local police and the Wayne County District Attorney.
So that just goes to show you there was a huge wave within the community that really wanted to do something.
Yes, and the public
tired of feeling helpless.
Seemed to connect relatively quickly as
Yeah, I mean, you know, and now you have how many members?
We have, I think, right around 1,700 members on social media.
Right, and that's in less than a year.
Yes.
That's amazing. Let's talk about the first things that you did once you met with the district attorney.
Well, of course, you know, this was all new to all of us. So
to everybody,
there was
exactly.
There was a lot of steps that had to be followed, and we, of course, had to research every one of them. Essentially, since we've started, we're now incorporated. We've filed for our 501c3 nonprofit status. We have insurance for our group to cover everyone that comes to our meetings and ourselves. Once we got situated with them, we basically told them what our mission statement wanted to be, and it was basically to go through everything in the county, from education, awareness, getting treatment for those in need, talking about drug-related crimes, and bringing that all to the center of the table for everyone to discuss.
Heroin has become the main focus, it seems, so often of law enforcement and our judicial system. It absolutely absorbs the lives of the families and the broader community. Early on, along with the district attorney, there's at least one other major partnership that you got involved in with the Wayne Memorial Hospital.
Yes, we were contacted by Donna Decker with the Wayne Memorial Hospital, and she was completely overwhelmed that we had started a citizens group. So since then, we have partnered up with her, and pretty much everything that we can do to work side by side with the medical staff and everybody, local law enforcement, state law enforcement.
Now, you try to go around the county to different areas.
Correct. After our first public meeting, we decided the best thing to do was to hold regularly scheduled monthly meetings. We hold them on every third Thursday of the month. Since we started, this is our 10th meeting coming up. Instead of trying to hold them in one central location, Wayne County is very large, 760 some square miles.
And rather long.
And rather long. So we decided it would be easier if we traveled around the county and brought the meetings to the communities. That way they don't have to travel so far, and we could come out and educate them and make them aware of the situation if they're not already.
There's that sense of isolation that this kind of thing creates in a family. This helps to break through some of that. You're not alone.
No.
There's a lot of families being touched by this right now.
And that's one of our key things, is trying to break the stigma of drug addiction.
Right.
These aren't bad people. These are your kids. These are your moms. These are your dads. They're your brothers, your sisters. We need to help them.
But right now, let's talk a little bit about the numbers. We're seeing an increase in the number of overdoses. Now, not every overdose is fatal. I want to point that out. However, they all have the potential to be.
Yes, they do. Just in 2014 alone in Wayne County, there were 14 heroin opiate-related overdoses fatalities in a 12-month time span. Now, bear in mind, that number does not take into effect people that or maybe live on the bordering edges of the county that get transported to, say, Lackawanna or right. Luzerne or to New York State, because if they die in another state, unfortunately, it's recorded in that state. So we won't know about that stat. But just up to now, 14 in 2014. And unfortunately, at this point in the year, right now, we're already potentially at 10 fatalities. Wow. As far as overdoses.
It's 10 of our neighbors.
It is. It
our
is.
Friends.
Our children.
Yeah.
Correct. 911, I had made contact with them here a couple of months ago just to talk to them and see if they actually recorded what the actual calls that come in, if there's an actual overdose call. They basically informed me that up till this year, they never had anything or any code in their computer systems that would say overdose. So 2015, they have a code, so they can start tracking that. As of our meeting in May, they told me there was already 17 overdoses called in. Now, bear in mind that 17 overdose calls does not mean that they were fatalities,
right?
As you know. But we went again last month and checked with them, and it went up another 10. So essentially means that there was one overdose called in every 3 days in Wayne County.
In Wayne County.
Just in Wayne County alone.
Mm. That's a sobering statistic, to say the least.
Now, you also have to bear in mind with that statistic that when a lot of people call 911, they're not going to call and say they have an overdose on their hands. So these are people that are actually calling in.
That's how it's
an overdose.
In.
So
that's a scary situation.
That number can be greatly affected.
We are going to go now to Susie Frisch. She's the vice president of the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force, a citizen-based task force that's working in conjunction with law enforcement, with the medical community, to try to get ahead of, get on top of, or somehow deal with the growing scourge of the heroin addiction. Let's talk about, you had an interesting point before we got started, why we're seeing this burgeoning addiction problem with opioids.
Narcotic medication started to be prescribed, like taken home by, I think, everybody back 1990s, right. The late 1990s. Pharmacies, now they're being prescribed. So they're out there. People are taking them, then a few years go by, and then people are starting to realize, these are fun.
Yeah.
These can be used. I feel pretty good on these. Now that starts happening, and then as time goes on again, which is now the, say, 2004 and 5, people are hooked on narcotic medication, which would be like oxycodone, Oxycontin, Vicodin.
Any of the other opioid painkillers.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Our epidemic today is not the same as the 1960s and the 1970s. It's not the peace, love. It's mainly driven by the
exposure to pharmaceuticals.
Absolutely.
Dangerous pharmaceuticals,
yes.
That were.
Yes.
And I think community started to realize that we need to look at that the person getting it is taking it and that it's working. And right. There's a lot going on at the state level that has to do with that. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. We've been listening to Wayne Pike Now. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. And we've been talking about the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force. You were saying, Susie, this isn't like in the 60s. This didn't start with people experimenting. This really more started with a flush of opioid pain medications being prescribed to the community, everybody.
Pain medication hit the pharmacies, then it hit the patients, and then it
these
hit
remarkable,
the kids.
These remarkable pain medications that were really heralded, you know, as being a great thing for people suffering from,
correct.
From
chronic,
you know,
pain.
Chronic
right.
Long-term pain.
Right, right.
But
they found that it is also fun. After they realized that there was a large addiction, they cracked down on it. They start pulling the scripts back. It's a little harder to get. The doctors are being, you know, briefed on, mm-hmm. which is absolutely correct.
Right. Because we want the people who need these medications to get them.
Correct.
But we want to keep them out of the hands of people using them for fun.
So they crack down on them. And so now that forces these people that are hooked on narcotic opioids, the pill form, out on the street. So now they're out buying the street drugs. Instead of doing that, because the street drugs are $20 to $30 a pill, mm-hmm. and some addicts can take 20, 30 of those pills in a day.
They build up such tolerance.
Correct. So either they're stealing now to get the money to buy the pills, which, you know, affects law enforcement in our communities, or they're going to try heroin. Heroin is cheap. It's quick and
purer than it was in the 60s and 70s.
It's pure. It's actually getting scarier because now they're cutting fentanyl and ketamine and other things into the heroin.
Even more dangerous
so
than the heroin itself.
Exactly. They're always trying to chase that high. So that high for an addict, that's how it happens. And now we have everybody that's, you know, people that would never have done heroin. I think it's 1 in 10. If they are on pills, they go to heroin.
That's why I wanted to point out to people, because I think I hear that probably most of all. Why do people get on that? Why do people even get on that stuff? It's so dangerous. And I know when I went to the Lazarus Project program.
Correct.
The gentleman said, nobody gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to become an addict today.
Right.
But there's that first time they try heroin.
Right.
And it's inexpensive. It's everywhere. Don't kid yourself. And you need it. I mean, once you get addicted to the opioid prescription medications, you need something.
The opioids give off 10 times the dopamine in your brain. 10 times. So if we are eating a piece of pie, we like the pie, smile, ha, we're mm-hmm. friends, it's a good time, we feel good. Heroin, any of the opiates, give off 10 times the dopamine of the regular brain.
You just can't, so you're not going to find that in real life.
Yeah. Our brain goes, shuts down, then the pills take over. Well, you can't duplicate that.
Right.
And so life, they're constantly chasing the dragon.
Right. Real life cannot compete with those levels of dopamine. No. You're just, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to give you that high. You psychologically get dependent on the high. Your body gets dependent on the chemicals that create the high very quickly.
Yep.
And it becomes very dangerous because you need more and more and more to get that effect.
A very good thing to think about when it comes to stigma. This could be people that are prescribed a medication because they had a surgery. It could be your grandmother, could be your aunt, could be anybody. So what happens, they fall asleep, they forget they took something, they take another pill. You know, before they know it, they've gone down the luge.
Right.
You know, they're done.
Yep.
So it's not just the back street.
It's not just the needle in the bathroom.
At all. It looks just like you and me.
Absolutely. Definitely not just the needle in the bathroom. And that's what makes it difficult for the community to tackle because it's a very broad approach. There are some things that have been going on at the state level that are good. The prescription monitoring program will be coming up, should be coming online.
This summer, I think.
Yeah, shortly, which will allow for the kind of
monitoring,
patient monitoring for doctors, for the state to be able to monitor individual doctors and their patterns of prescribing these dangerous medications. And like I said, it's not that we don't want the people who need them to have them. We just want to get them out of the hands of people who use them recklessly or recreationally because they are a medication. One of the other things that's recently happened is the antidote has become more readily available to the community. It goes by several names, Narcan, Naloxone. The state recently made it possible for people to get that in their hands so that they can prevent these fatalities or draw people out of overdose. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It is a overdose antidote. If you are witnessing an overdose, by administering this, you can bring them back within 3 to 5 minutes.
They're getting it into the hands of law enforcement, emergency medical technicians, first responders of all kinds, and families.
Correct.
Friends, people who are nearby someone or close to someone at risk of overdose. And there's a lot of reasons they're considered to be at risk. We're trying to get this more and more in the community. And your group right now is working on getting people trained to use this stuff.
Yes. Actually, Pennsylvania hasn't caught up completely like New York State. And Gerald and I went back a few months ago and went and got certified in administering Narcan in Deposit, New York. And through that and through our experience, we brought that to our group, and a couple of people in our group took upon themselves to find two instructors, and they were willing to meet us as close to Pennsylvania as we could get, which was Narrowsburg.
Awesome.
So in the last, say, 3 months, we are responsible for helping maybe 40 people-ish get certification in administering Narcan.
Wow.
It's a big deal. We're really excited about that.
Because the more people out there who are equipped and capable,
yes,
the more lives are saved. It's that simple.
Right. For them to thrive, they have to be alive. We need them to be alive for us to get them help that they need.
Right. We've been talking about the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force. I'm joined today by Gerald Margraf, the president and founder of the organization, and Susie Frisch, who is the vice president. We've talked a lot about the impact that heroin has on the community, kind of how this whole thing got started. We've talked about how the citizen-based task force got started. And now you guys have got your quarterly meeting coming at the Ritz Theater on June 18th. Gerald Margraf, tell us a little bit about what you guys plan to do that night.
Well, we try to change the meetings up a little bit instead of preaching the same thing about education and awareness at every meeting. We try to bring new things to everyone. So in Holly, we decided that since we're so close to the Pike County border, that we would invite Pike County officials as well, because unfortunately the drugs and the addiction does not stop at the county line.
Yeah.
So we want everybody to know, and we're kind of curious to know what's happening on the other side of the line. We've invited the Wayne County District Attorney, the Pike County District Attorney. We have both coroners from both counties coming, also the Wayne County Drug Task Force, and potentially the Pike County Drug Task Force as well. That way we can try to get an idea of what everybody's doing to combat this, so we can, as Susie always says, is we can all rise together, because that's the only way. If there's gaps in it, it's not going to work. We all have to get this together.
Absolutely. And the citizen-based task force has been a really important motivator and important part of this. Like you said, you're about education and awareness. It's really important for families to spot some of these little signs, these little things.
Yes, the early warning signs.
Yes. Let's talk about a couple of those. We're going to go to Susie Frisch, the vice president of the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force. Susie.
We formed a drug tool board back in, I would say, November. And it is a board that has everything on it that would be different than the movie paraphernalia.
Okay.
Everybody knows that stigma, classic stuff, the syringe, the belt, the needle, the spoon, the lighter. Okay. Well, we put together a board that has everything else. plus that stuff.
Right.
So we need to find things quicker. So we need to look for things that are not common, which would be Q-tips, empty pens, broken open pens that you may find that are clean or have residue. If you find those things,
you've got an addict in your house.
You do. They're either smoking or snorting the pills. So there's so many things, little rubber bands, and multiple phones.
You're going to find these kind of just sitting around all over, and you just don't think much of it. It is an everyday item. You weren't seeing it every day here, there, and everywhere.
No.
And now you are.
Right.
Start investigating. Start looking more deeply.
Yes.
You've also started a family support group.
Yes. Right from the very beginning of one of our big meetings, one of the big questions among the group were families and parents and friends wondering, what do we do? Where do we go? They need help. What do we do? Jack Heineke and his wife, Sue Heineke, they decided to form Honesdale Family Support Group. And it is every Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Path Building. And it's for everybody that's affected by addiction. Been well received. And
Gerald, you're not done. I know you've got some accomplishments under your belt, but you're by no means done. And before we started, you were talking about getting into the schools and how important that is. Let's talk about that next step.
What we feel is very important is getting into the schools. We think that education needs to start at a much earlier age than it does, especially with this current epidemic that's taking place. Heroin is a very dangerous, dangerous drug, and it should not be taken lightly. And what we try to show to people when we show them our drug board is basically some of the tools that are on there may also be very dangerous for their children just to touch. Something that children can find commonly on the side of the streets or in their playgrounds would be the glassine bags.
Right.
They have all kinds of designs on them, whether they're little panthers or the minions. You know, something like that a child is instantly going to look at. They look like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. So they're going to pick that stuff up. The problem is now the stuff is being mixed with fentanyl. It's 100 times more powerful than heroin. It's a synthetic opioid, and it's 100% fatal to a child.
Yeah.
It's transdermal. That's the problem. Once the child or adult touches that packet, and it doesn't have to be just a child, an adult can go down with this as well.
Right.
It can put you into an opioid overdose. You know, these are just some of the things that we want to be able to get out there now because they're extremely important. And I'm sure if this continues the way it's going, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad to see the groundswell within the community. If we don't tackle it together, none of us are going to be successful. The hospital can't solve the problem.
No.
Law enforcement can't solve the problem. The drug and alcohol treatment programs can't solve the problem.
We all have
the
to be
community
part of it.
As a whole, all coming together, individuals, families, businesses, everybody coming together is the only way we stop it.
Absolutely.
So find out more. Go to the Ritz Theater on Thursday, June 18th. What time does that start?
That starts at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. You can learn more about it. You can also find them on Facebook at the Wayne County Heroin Prevention Task Force. Okay, Susie, talk about the Wayne County District Attorney's tip line.
Wayne County, the DA, has put in place an anonymous tip text hotline. So there is a text hotline number, 570-391-0657. If you see it, say it. Text and help save lives.
That's the perfect ending, I think, for this show. Thank you both so much for coming in and sharing the hard work. You have to see all the folders they have. They've obviously put so much time and effort into this. On behalf of the community, thank you. Because the impetus has to come from somewhere. That it came from social media is just, you know, a sign of the times. Let's hope we can put that to good use and really make things happen.
Thanks.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I thank all of you for tuning in. Drop by again next week and we'll talk some more.